If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 868. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about castles and cable cars, hikes and bears, a revolution, a salt mine, and a little bit about a vampire as we go to Transylvania in Romania. This is Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler. Let's talk about Transylvania. I would like to welcome to the show Ella from wherenextnomad.com. Ella is a historian from the UK who's come to talk to us about Transylvania in Romania. Ella, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Did I get all of that right? First of all, the look on your face. Okay.
No, I'm just, do you know, I make faces. So if I start making stupid faces, it is just probably because I've caught myself in the camera.
Got it. And those of those people who are listening who don't have the camera don't know what we're talking about. So what is your connection with Romania?
I spent 3 months living in Romania at the back end of 2022, starting from October, and we spent Christmas there, and it was beautiful. I fell in love, very much so, with Brasov in Romania in particular, but the whole place, the nature, the people, it's a gorgeous place to be, especially in the autumn. I think the fall colours are spectacular in Romania. It's a very atmospheric place to be, especially in Transylvania at that time of year.
Excellent. And why should someone go to Romania?
You can make a good itinerary in Romania by public transport. Okay. I really enjoy traveling by public transport, be that train or bus. I'm not a good passenger in either a plane or a car. So I tend to avoid them.
Okay.
Yep. In Romania, my husband and I, we spent a lot of time using the local public transport system. Today, I wanted to talk about our from Bucharest through Sinaia to Brasov and then to Sighișoara, all by public transport. And also the various side quests we did from those places, again, mainly using public transport.
Excellent. And what you don't know, because these shows haven't come out yet, is we've got this ongoing theme here for this last month, talking about visiting places by public transport. So it just happens to be thematic here. Perfect. For no particularly good reason. Excellent. You've already talked about the itinerary, so let's jump in. You started us in Bucharest, as I recall.
Yes, I think most international travellers are going to fly into Bucharest. Although it's now possible to fly, certainly from the UK, into Brasov itself, as the new airport has opened this summer. But for our itinerary, we're going to start in Bucharest. You've already had Bucharest covered by your fantastic previous podcast.
So it's been a while.
But we didn't spend much time there at all. Our purpose was very much to get out into the countryside, so we skipped the city. And from Otterpenny Airport, you can go 20 minutes either on the train or on the bus to Bucharesti North Railway Station, mm-hmm. where the trains to Transylvania run from. And that is your starting point.
Okay.
The first train we're going to get on is about an hour and a half from Bucharest to Sinaia. And Sinaia is in the Buzsegi Mountains. Now, I'm going to have to excuse my terrible pronunciation as well. The Romanian language is not the easiest to grasp. So do excuse me. And if you need to correct me at any point, then feel free.
Well, I am not the hopefully one who don't would know. Correct you.
Somebody will. Somebody will.
There is an argument that I don't even speak English well as I'm talking to someone here from England.
I'm from Sheffield. I don't speak English that either. To get the train in Romania can be an adventure in itself because it's not necessarily easy to do on the internet. I think certainly okay. a lot of the travel that I do now, and we book everything on the internet. It's sure. usually very easy to pick up a ticket for a flight or a train, showing everything on the app. And in Romania, that's not the case. 9 times out of 10, it's going to be the easiest to go to the train station and buy a okay. ticket, be that a couple of days in advance or just on the day. And actually, we didn't really book much in advance ourselves and didn't find it necessary.
And I'm assuming that you speak no Romanian.
No.
It is a Romance language, so it is yeah. closer to some of the other European languages to the west, like French. But you're getting by fine or getting that ticket from the ticket agent in English?
You can get by in English with international sign language hand signals
sure, yes.
of...
and charades. Yes, I get it.
Browser, yeah, exactly. Pointing at a map. I want got that it. Train mm-hmm. this time. And actually, the English, spoken English level in Romania is really high.
Good. Okay.
Especially among younger people, mm. anyone up to the age of kind of 40-odd is probably going to speak English.
Okay.
But at the railway station, you have to go to the right ticket office as well, because there are 3 different train companies that you can use. Just okay. to complicate matters, this is fun. This is old school travel. You get to okay. a place and you have to go and find the right ticket. Actually, you can use any of those companies to get down on the train to Sinaia. But you can get the expensive one, which is the Astra Trans Carpatia train,
okay.
which is actually a long distance train, which sometimes runs all the way to Budapest in Hungary. You can get the middlingly expensive trains, Regio Calatori.
Okay.
Or you can get the CFR Calatori. And they're all different companies and they all sell slightly different tickets, but they all go to the same place. A lot of your choice of travel is probably going to depend on what time you want to leave and then which train company you fancy traveling in. We didn't do the Astra Transcarpatia. We used Regio Calatori and CFR Calatori at various times on our trip, and both were fine, although I would probably use the toilet before you get on the train.
Good to know. Okay. Hey, I've done night trains in China where it was a whole going to the tracks.
Yeah. Certainly, I think on the Regio Calatori, that is what we are talking about. Okay. So you can book CFR Calatori and the Astra Transcarpatia on a website, which is unpronounceable. And I will try. Mersutrenuelio.
Okay.
Which maybe should go in the show notes rather than me saying.
We'll have a link to these things.
But you can't book the Regio Calatori on the website. So it's just easier to go to the station, in my view. There are a lot of trains running that route. It's the main line down between Bucharest and Brasov. So it's usually very easy to get on the train. A lot about trains there. Anyway, the train journey itself is really beautiful, because Sinaia sits at quite high points up in the mountains. It really acts as almost a mountain pass between okay. the Bucharest region and Transylvania, going through the Carpathians. So it's got a very spa town-like feel. And in fact, that's when the city built itself up, is when the royal family moved to the town. They built a summer residence there. And then all the very rich people came to the town and built a casino and a spa and hotels and parks. So it has a beautiful elegance to it. And okay, it's a good place to start a trip. And I would spend probably 2 or 3 days in the region. There are two particularly good things to see. They're both castles. Mm-hmm. And one is called Peles Castle, and then the other is called Pelesior Castle. And they're both on the same site within the same park, and they are both absolutely stunning buildings. Peles Castle was built for King Carol of Romania and his wife, mm-hmm, Queen Elizabeth. And it was started construction, I think, in around 1870s. And didn't finish its construction until 1914. And the sheer detail and size of the place is testament to how long it took to build.
So when you talk about castle here, we're clearly past the age of castles, and yet King Carol is building a castle here. So this is, I'm guessing, in the age of Romanticism, basically, when we're building Neuschwanstein in Germany and, yes, and all of these other people, where kings who are now not absolute monarchs want to live like absolute monarchs or want to live in a castle. So it really has nothing to do with defense, and they really didn't need to build a castle, but they wanted to live in a castle. Is that, am I in the right
direction? You are in very here? Much that ballpark, yes. I think the architecture is neo-Renaissance. Mm. It is very much of that age of romantic castle. It's Gothic on the outside. It's stuffed with stained glass and carved wood. And so much detail that your eye almost says too much.
Okay, yeah.
I've never seen anything like it, actually. And in a lifetime of working with historic buildings, it's the most fantastical place I think I've ever seen.
It feels like an architect who got a good budget and was used to designing Swiss chalets was given a budget to build a castle and built the castle that he or she had dreamed of when they were a kid, as I look at pictures of it.
Yes, it has that feeling about it. There's a cracking quote, actually, because the architects were German. King Carol himself was German. Oh. He was given the throne in the way that kind of these European thrones were often given by whoever, mm-hmm, the powerful people of the day were. And it was his way of showing that power, I think, was to be able to bring in all the best and the brightest to build this incredible place. And there's a good quote from Queen Elizabeth from the time. She says, "The Italians were the masons. The Romanians were building terraces, the gypsies were the coolies. Albanians and Greeks worked in stone, Germans and Hungarians were carpenters. Turks were burning brick, the engineers were Polish, and the stone carvers were Czech. The Frenchmen were drawing, the Englishmen were measuring. And so you could see hundreds of national costumes and 14 languages in which they spoke, sang, cursed and quarrelled, in all dialects and tones. A joyful mix of men, horses, cart oxen, and domestic buffaloes." So it sounds like the chaos of building the place probably matches its slightly chaotic appearance.
That's wonderful.
It's a good one. Peles is the big brother, really. It's an enormous place, and Peles and the parkland itself could probably take you at least half a day to wander the rooms and really take it all in. Pelesior is just down the lane, is much smaller, and it was built for the next king, Frederick I, and Queen Marie. Queen Marie was actually Queen Victoria of England's granddaughter, known as Missy, apparently, in her younger days. As a Brit, I feel a bit of a connection there because there's a connection to our royal family. And Pelesior was built as their summer house when they were young, when they were first married. And it has a slightly different style, not necessarily externally, but some of the rooms in Pellissore are arts and crafts in style.
Okay.
They have this kind of very jewel-like quality. There's a lot of gold and turquoise. Mm. And again, very beautiful place to spend a little time wandering around. The whole complex has a restaurant, a cafe. You can go and eat something. You can go through the park. You can go straight up into the mountains from the castle. So it's a full day out.
Okay.
Also, near Pellez and Pellissore, there is a monastery. That's from the 17th century, so much earlier than the later castles. The name Sinai reflects Mount Sinai. Sinai okay. has had a much longer religious history
okay.
than it has had a royal history. And the monastery is still there to remind you of that.
And those were the two things in particular you recommended that are must-sees in Sinai. Are there yeah. other things that we should do while we're there if we have time?
Definitely. Another thing I will mention actually mm-hmm. on the castle side, if you've ever seen the new Netflix show Wednesday, based on the Addams Family.
I have.
There's another castle in Busteni, which is a train station away from Sinai, called Canta Cusino Castle. And that is Nevermore, the exterior of Nevermore.
That's funny.
Parts of Wednesday were filmed there. We didn't go, actually. And then we watched Wednesday and wished we had. But that's certainly something that you could do.
Okay.
But the other side of this part of the world is the hiking, or indeed the skiing. Mm-hmm. If you're there in winter, there are ski resorts around as well. But you can take cable cars from Sinai itself, or you could go down the road to Busteni and take a cable car from there and get up into the high mountains and take hikes along the ridges. Obviously, you need to be a little careful in Romania because there are bears.
Okay.
But actually,
you say obviously, but I did not know that, but okay.
Oh, there are more on bears later, but there are many. All right. I think the largest group of European brown bears is in Romania.
Okay.
The largest population, I should say, of European brown bears.
If nothing else, should give us a hint that we're talking about a country that has a fair number of mountains.
A fair number of mountains, even more forest.
And more forest, right, yeah.
Yeah, very ancient forest as well, so really good cover for bears. But more on those later. Up in the mountains, I think you can see further, they tend to be in the forests rather than roaming up the mountains. But it's something to be aware of if you're hiking alone in particular. The people in Romania tend to just make a lot of noise, so they'll go around with the radio on, potentially, if they're hiking on their own, just blaring some music. We were told that you shouldn't wear a bell. Some people will say
the bears think that's a dinner bell.
Yeah, they think it's dinner. Exactly that, because all the cows wear bells. Okay. That is a mistake. Don't do that. Anyway, so yeah, you can hike. The hiking up around those mountains is spectacular. Because you can take the cable cars up, you can hike from the high points and you don't have to slog your way up every hill. And there are some spectacular viewpoints from around 1,400 metres high that you haven't even had to walk to get to.
And is there a particular hiking route you would recommend? It sounds like you have one in mind when you say that.
The Busteni cable car takes you up to some rock formations. They're called the Babele, which is old woman. A bit like Baba. In Eastern Europe, does tend to mean grandma. The formations are in the shapes of hunched old ladies. There's a sphinx, which is just a rock, but it has that shape of the sphinx. Okay. So where you're hiking up there, the rock formations are probably the most interesting thing to hike around and through. And as I say, you can hike those off the Busteni cable car.
Okay.
But so, apart from the indoors of castles and the outdoors and hiking in Sinai, it's a really lovely town to just wander around. Because of its royal connections, it feels a little like a UK spa town, Bath, somewhere mm-hmm. like that. It has a casino. It has a hotel. It has numerous excellent cake shops. And I absolutely recommend coffee and cake.
Do you have a particular favorite cake shop in Sinai?
We frequented Caramello.
Okay.
Which was excellent. The chocolate cakes in there probably shouldn't be eaten if you want to do anything afterwards. And the coffee is strong. But yes, coffee and cake is a very civilized way to spend an afternoon people watching around Sinai. And a lot of the cafes, the restaurants, the hotels, the casino, they all sit around the main park in the town.
Now, when I think of a casino in a royal town in Europe, I'm picturing something where I might want to have a jacket or tie. Is there a dress code, or is it that style of casino, or am I way off base?
It would have been that style of casino.
Okay.
Now I think it operates a little more as a conference center and is less somewhere to go and gamble and more somewhere to look at from the outside or have a coffee or a meal inside.
Okay.
Unfortunately, what is a royal town without a bit of gambling?
Not a place necessarily to practice my baccarat or chemin de fer.
No, okay. Unfortunately not. Yeah, the communist authorities, strangely enough, were not so keen on gambling. So actually that casino hasn't been a casino since the communist era.
Hmm. Interesting.
It has a very particular feel about it. Being from the UK, I call it an Edwardian feel, stately.
Okay.
It feels like it's from a particular era. And the park around which you'd probably want to stay, if you stayed there or eat, is the park called Dmitry Gika.
Okay.
I do wish I'd picked a place to talk about with names that I can actually pronounce. That would have been great. Always.
Butcher Box is sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler, and I just got my first Butcher Box. I've got packed with dry ice came 4 packets of ground beef, 3 packets of chicken breasts, 2 steaks, some pork ribs, and some sirloin tips. Now, I've got a great recipe for what to do with the chicken. At least one of those packets of chicken is going to become Greek chicken and rice. And if you go to chris2x.com, I've got a recipe there that's an Instant Pot recipe. But I'm not good with steak, and so I'm going to take advantage of the fact that ButcherBox has recipes on their site at butcherbox.com to learn some great recipes to do with those steaks. You can have ButcherBox deliver meat to your doorstep. Free shipping as always, curated to custom box plans. You can easily find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. Also like the fact that I could recycle all the box and shipping material that they sent. Sign up at butcherbox.com/traveler and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. Choose salmon, chicken, breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/traveler. If you got recipes for ribs or steaks, send them my way as I send my thanks to ButcherBox.com for sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler.
Anyway, so moving on from Sinai, we get on the train again. The train station in Sinai was built for the royal family, so is grand in its own right and is a good way to move on to the royal city of Brasov. And Brasov is the place where we stayed the longest in Romania. We were there for over 2 months. And it quickly became, I think, my favourite place in Europe.
Okay.
It's a fascinating place. And I think that a lot of travellers pass through Brasov rather quickly. They stop off there to go maybe on a quick tour of Bran Castle. And they drop into the Black Church, and then they move on to another place in Romania or another part of Europe. And I feel that Brasov deserves some love in its own right, and you may want to spend a few days there. For starters, and this is my style of travel, I absolutely love museums. The more random, the better.
Okay.
I could spend a lot of time wandering through tiny museums of ethnography, looking at pieces of embroidery or looking at wooden tools. This is the perfect place for me because for around £10, about $12, I think, you can buy a ticket which gets you into 11 different museums in Brasov and the surrounding area. And you have a week to use that ticket.
Oh, nice.
So you can properly spread out your days, go in a different place every day if you want to, or really hammer a couple of days' worth of museums, which is basically what I did. I had really sore feet and a very full brain after I'd done that. But to give you an idea, it gets you into the Black Church, which is one of the major sites in Brasov. Gets you into the Museum of Ethnography, which is a really interesting little insight into the history of how people have lived in the area and their traditions, costumes, etc. The Museum of Urban Civilization, which is quite a simple museum, but it gives you the knowledge of how Brasov came to be much earlier than you would think. So it has bits of Roman remains, for instance.
Okay. And obviously one of the reasons why there is a Romance language in Romania is this was, I want to say Dacia in Romania, Roman province. Yeah. And I'm speaking to a historian, so I knew there was a chance I would be wrong there, but okay.
No, and actually this may not be interesting, but reading around some of the folk traditions, they are spread throughout that Dacian kingdom. So some of the first vampire kind of texts and traditions actually come from Croatia, the north of Croatia, which was also part of Dacia, which I found really interesting, but maybe not for everyone. Anyway, moving on with the museums, there is the Brasov County Museum of History, which is basically an old building which you can move around. But when we were there, they had a cool installation which was a bow and arrow, so you could learn how to shoot a bow and arrow in a kind of virtual reality scenario, which was fun.
Okay.
Like I say, I like it quite random in a museum. They also have the first Romanian school museum, which actually we didn't go to. It was shut when we tried, stupidly. But the internet tells us it is one of the best things to do in Brasov. You can get a lesson in the first Romanian school at the old desks. I think it dates to around the 13th century. So it's really going back some. And it just shows how old the history is in this part of Romania, the history of education even. It is early. And then there are various other museums around the town, smaller museums with musical instruments or other ethnographic museums out of town. But that's just a flavour of what you can do. I have particular fondness for the Black Church because of the Turkish rugs that are displayed there.
Okay.
I was surprised also, but they were donated. Let's go back in time. And I think this was mentioned in the previous podcast you did about Transylvania. The Saxons were in Transylvania and in Brasov and the area particularly from around the 12th century onwards. They were invited by the rulers of the time.
As minors, I'm guessing?
No, to defend the border.
Oh, okay.
They were invited to build
against Ottomans. The Ottoman Turks. Okay.
When you go to Brasov, or we'll come back later, there's another town called Sigisoara. They are all fortified by towers.
Okay.
And the German Lutheran history of the place is still quite strong. There's still a German-speaking community in Brasov, and the Black Church is actually still a working German Lutheran church.
Okay.
So that in itself is of interest. But the Turkish rugs were donated in a kind of power play by the guilds of the city.
Okay.
And the Saxon guilds were responsible, each one of them, for blacksmithing or for leather working or for fishmongering. Each had their tower around the city walls that they were responsible for defending and responsible for the upkeep. Each had a pew in the church, which they painted beautifully with their coats of arms, and you can see those in the black church as well. And they all donated these Turkish rugs that were a kind of sign of richness. And the more elaborate the rug, the richer your guild. And some of the rugs, the earliest rugs, date from, I think, around the 16th century. And they're hung around the walls. So it's a really interesting to see that level of secularism in what is quite a austere and still used church, which made it, to me, doubly fascinating. And then, of course, because you have this historic community still in the city that you may expect not to be there anymore, it just adds another layer to the history of the place.
Interesting.
When I was mentioned the towers around the walls, something we did just the fun, to be honest, because we're geeks, we we walked the towers around the walls. Most of them are still in existence. Not many of them are open in any kind of meaningful way. And I think there is a post-COVID lull in what is open in general in Romania. Hopefully now things will begin to reopen. But the towers are great. And there is one called the White Tower, which is built in the 16th century, which is a really interesting shape. It's like a circle with a wedge cut off the back of it. And it is white, and it's like none of the other towers at all. It's also possibly the most evil set of stairs I've ever had to walk up, but still worth a look. And the views over the city from the White Tower are spectacular, so definitely do that. And to top off museums, because this has to be mentioned, they have a museum called The Tales of Communism.
Okay.
As you can imagine, it has its harrowing moments, the Museum of Communism, but it also has some very funny and uplifting content. The premise of the museum is you're making your way through a middle-class house.
Okay.
From the communist era. And all of the things that would be in that house are there. It's set up in the same way, the Hoover from the 1970s, whatever. But all around the walls are stories that people have sent to the project of their experiences of the communist era. Some of them are very funny, some of them are uplifting, some of them are tales of heroism, some of them are awful, really grim stories, as you'd expect. And I think when you're in Brasov, you get a real sense of the ancient history is everywhere around you. So you feel the medieval history just seeping out of the pores of the pavements. But the Tales of Communism Museum reminds you of the very recent history. History that we've been alive during. And it,
some of us, not all of it, everybody listening.
Not everybody listening, but
some of us remember 1989 and the Christmas Revolution and the fall of Nicolae Ceaușescu.
I've just aged myself, haven't I? But yeah, I think if you come to Romania, it's definitely worth taking time out to understand that part of history, because in a way, it's still very much part of people's lives, especially the older people.
Yeah.
Just to lighten that, though. They have a cafe at Tales of Communism where they sell you things that you might have been able to eat during the communist era. Graying toasties and terrible coffee, I think, is probably what that was. But again, just probably worth getting a terrible communist coffee after you've been around the museum to gather yourself.
Okay.
And as always, because we love hiking, this is another thing that we did a lot of in Brasov. Brasov has a cable car, again, and you may be spotting a theme here that I'm quite lazy when it comes to walking up hills. I much prefer to walk the down.
No judgment here.
No. But there's a hill called Tampa, which sits next to the old town of Brasov. It's right next to the historic city. It has a cable car running bottom to pretty much top, or a zigzag path that you can take up to the top. And it has a Hollywood sign near the top that you can go and get a picture in front of. Obviously, the Hollywood sign says Brasov.
Thank you. Okay. That was my question.
Hollywood or Brasov. It's lit up at night, which kind of makes a beautiful feature. This part of this park, really, this hill, is the playground for the locals. Okay. And if you choose to walk up, as happened to me once, you will find yourself being overtaken by 90-year-old Romanians who have clearly done this every day of their lives.
Okay.
And will hoof past you with their hiking sticks, not even breaking a sweat while you puff your way up the 600 metres odd of elevation that you have to cover from town up to the top. But it's worth it. It is worth it. I found that Romanians out on a hike are the friendliest Romanians. And many a person would stop on my hikes and just have a chat or join me for part of the walk. Just interested to find out what I was doing there, or whether I was enjoying Romania, whether I was enjoying Brasov, or to give some tips about the best places to go. And Romanians, I think, they don't smile a huge amount in the same way as you might smile in the UK at people. We're all very good at smiling and saying good morning. But despite their slightly forbidding exterior, they are probably the friendliest Europeans.
Hmm.
Once you get chatting.
That's an interesting...
So I recommend a chat. Chat with a local up a hill, and you will probably find out more about the area than any other way, any history book.
Okay.
The hills around Brasov, there are ski resorts nearby. The main one is Poyana Brasov, which is about 20 minutes by bus from the city. Another great place for hiking. And in fact, you can hike from the top of Tampa all the way over to Poyana, again, avoiding bears, if the weather is good enough. And actually, we did it in the snow, very thin snow once, and it was absolutely stunning. It's as good later in the year as it is earlier in the year.
That's what I was wondering. You mentioned what time of year you were there. I was enchanted with Brasov and the pictures I was seeing as we were talking. So I was looking at what the weather was like. It cools off pretty quick here in Brasov in the fall.
It does.
So we go into the fall with days in what I would say the 70s. You would put in the 20s. But by the time we get to November, we're getting closer to freezing.
Yes. My kind of weather.
Okay.
Being British, it's the only kind of weather I can cope with. We had an exceptional autumn last year. I think we arrived at the beginning of October. And we had sunny, crisp days. It was chilly, but warm enough to go hiking in a t-shirt.
Okay.
But then as we got into November and December, definitely, you started to get the frosts at night. Something in Brasov that we noticed is because of the way it's in a bowl in the mountains, you get trapped fog, a cloud inversion, basically. So if you're up high, you might see fog across the top of the city and you can't actually see the city in the bowl, but you're above the cloud, which is another beautiful way to see the city. If Brasov has its own citadel, a little castle, a medieval castle fortified on a hill, which unfortunately...
An actual castle,
An actual castle, yes. It wasn't open when we went, but you can walk up and wander around the outside of the walls. But because of the way that's on a hill, if you are on a hill looking across at it, that hill could just be rising out of the clouds, with the castle on top. The most atmospheric place in terms of picturesque, moody atmosphere in the autumn.
Okay.
It brings to mind Dracula stories and all of the things that people might think about Transylvania.
The interesting thing is, one of the things I've enjoyed about this episode is we're talking about Transylvania, and we really haven't been talking about Vlad Dracula, who was a real person, was not, so far as we know, a vampire, but did live in the area. And obviously, the tourism board has embraced Dracula, let's say, or at least the tourists often go just for the Bram Castle, Dracula's castle. Yep. I appreciate that we've been talking about all sorts of other things.
I know, but I think this is possibly why people don't stay for long around this area of Transylvania, because we are fed one story about Transylvania, but people seldom talk about it. It's interesting history and its very beautiful landscapes. There are other folk tales in Transylvania as well, which are much more important to the people who live there, much more kind of attached to their lives. And it is a place that really gets your imagination buzzing. Probably.
And do you have an example of another folk tale that is more important?
So something that fascinated me, again, I use the word fascinated a lot in terms of when I'm talking about Brasov, because it just is. There is a place called Solomon's Rocks. It's a hiking area. And you can go there, especially if you have a lovely sunny day, you can take along some sausages and they have grills there. And people go there on the weekend and have a few beers and a party. You can get there by bus from the city centre, so that's very easy. You don't have to hike out there. And Solomon's Rocks is basically a kind of gorge with lots of rock formations rising up into the mountains. Solomon's Rocks is named after the story of King Solomon, who was a Hungarian king, who killed his brother. And his mother cursed him. And trying to escape the curse, which was basically that as soon as he was seen by a mortal, he would drop down dead, he tried to hide out in this rocky outcrop area. Okay. But he was seen by a shepherd and fell over the rocks, and the rocks broke apart and created this kind of schism in the rock, which they now call Solomon's Rocks. There's another little story about Solomon, that he hid his crown near one of the trees around Tampa before his death. And that's now the symbol of Brasov, is the crown with the roots, the crown near the tree. The old name for Brasov was Corona, or Kronstadt in German, all based around this crown story. So there are good stories abounding in the area. Tampa, the hill, it's a dragon. Apparently there's a dragon hidden under there.
Okay. And I was worried about bears.
It's a very familiar story in Eastern European places. I don't know if you know the story. Probably I've heard it more connected with Kraków in Poland.
Okay.
But the story of an angry dragon who is trying to overrun the city and is stealing all the daughters of the nobleman. And one day a young shepherd comes along and thinks, if I stuff a goat or a sheep full of gunpowder, or lime, usually, in the story, and feed it to the dragon. And then the dragon gets really hot and eventually blows up. And that story, again, I heard in Romania, but I've heard it before in Poland. All connected. Yeah.
Often if you have a place that is in this part of the world with a dragon connection, then that would have been an old pagan site of worship. And you'd often find a church dedicated to St. Michael or St. George was the other place that you, the other connection there. That you put a church to St. Michael the Archangel on top of this old place to protect you from the old pagan gods.
Oh.
Don't know if there's any connection here, but it's something to look for when you're on your travels in Europe.
That is really interesting and not something I knew. There is not a church on Tampa that I'm aware of. That doesn't mean there hasn't been. And it's an interesting there are rumours that there are caves and lakes under the hill. And people go off and try and find springs in the caves occasionally and come back with nothing. But it strikes me as the perfect place for pagan ritual, for really ancient civilizations to have done things differently. So it could well be, and I'm now going to have to look that up even more. How interesting. Yeah. Anyway, after we've climbed hills around Brasov, I've totally lost my thread now. We started talking about the pagan gods. Back to the medieval, slightly more recent history.
Slightly more recent.
Brasov is a great city to go for a walk in itself, the city. It's a good city to wander. It has some cracking medieval architecture, very atmospheric streets. You can walk along, allegedly, one of the narrowest streets in Europe, Rope Street. We did it. There is a lot of graffiti, but it is indeed very narrow. You don't want to meet anyone coming the other way. You can also walk under St. Catherine's Gate, which is another beautiful medieval gate that survived various road and infrastructure building projects. You can walk through the centre of town. You can finish with a drink in the council square. And you can really imagine how it would have been back in, gosh, the 14th or 15th centuries. So if you are into history, then this is the place to be.
Excellent. Anything else we want to do while we're in Brasov? You mentioned, for instance, your favorite cake place when we were further down in Sinaia. Where should we hang out when we're in Brasov? Yeah, exactly.
We're eating a
lot.
Let's
get to it.
I know, sorry. The important things I forgot. Definitely, you can eat your way through history, basically, in Brasov. And some of our favourite restaurants took in... We had schnitzel at a German-Austrian restaurant, which was excellent. The schnitzels were bigger than my head, which in my mind is the mark of an excellent schnitzel. You can try Hungarian goulash, or you can try the somale, which is very much an Ottoman, the cabbage leaves wrapped around mince and rice.
Got it. Okay, I'm with you now.
More traditionally Romanian are smoked meat soups and stews. There's a restaurant called La Caun, which is on the main square. It's a great place because it looks touristy, but it's very much frequented by locals as well. And you can pick up good, well-priced cauldrons of either soup or stew, excellent breads, and also the local delicacy, papanasi, which is basically a donut covered in sour cream and blueberry jam. And it's the sweetest thing you've ever eaten. Delicious, but they serve them in twos always. Top tip, don't order one each if you're in a couple. Just order one.
Okay, got it.
We made that mistake and our waistlines did not thank us for it. You can certainly eat well. Tips from taxi drivers are always good. So one of the better meals that we had was at a place called Four Roses. And it's a little way out of town. It's near the ice hockey rink, in fact. Another thing that you can do in Brasov, go watch ice hockey. And in the Four Roses, they do really excellent smoked pork ribs.
Okay.
Pork ribs being another kind of staple in the Romanian folk food.
Anything else we want to do in Brasov?
In the town, you're probably done, but out of town, you may want to take some quests. And probably the main thing you want to do if you're in town before the end of October is go and see some bears.
Okay, bears. You've been saying there's more to say about
more
bears.
More to say about bears. So yeah, as I said earlier, highest concentration of European brown bears is in the Carpathians. They think there are around 6,000 brown bears wandering about, and a lot of them live in the forests and mountains around Brasov. We booked a guide to go to a bear hide near another village called Zarnesti. So we got a train to Zarnesti from Brasov, very easy, and then we were picked up by the guide and taken off into the national park where they have a timber hide and fit maybe about 10 people in there. Okay. And you sit and you wait for the bears. In the national park, they have a scheme where they feed the bears biscuits mainly, bits and pieces, to keep them in certain areas because they've had problems with them coming into town.
Yep.
And the story is that at one point the government said, we don't want to keep paying to feed these bears. We're going to stop doing it. So they stopped, and a year or two later, the bears started coming into town and some people were quite badly hurt. So they started feeding the bears again.
Okay.
So when you're in the hide, they put down kind of biscuits or things waiting. And then when we were there, two or three beautiful brown bears turned up, munched their way through their biscuits, sat around for a while just being bear-like. And it was a really great way to see them. They're gorgeous, and it's really nice to see them in a slightly more wild environment. There are bear sanctuaries in Romania. Our guide told us that there is some controversy around the bear sanctuary near Brasov because they always seem to have baby bears, but all of their older bears are castrated or fixed. So there's a question over whether they're taking bears from the wild. So we chose not to go to the sanctuary.
Okay.
By all accounts, it's interesting in its own right, but we prefer to see the bears in the wild.
Okay.
And thank goodness we didn't see them in the real wild, as in out on one of our walks, because we certainly saw a fair amount of bear scat while we were hiking. And so they are out there, and occasionally you hear a bit of a rustle up the hill and you think, oh, that was probably a bear, but they keep away from you unless you bother them. And autumn's a useful time because they're mainly finding food and they don't have the babies around, so they're not feeling quite as protective.
Right.
So it's a good time. It's a good time to hike and not be worried about it.
It feels like we're starting to wind down. Do you have any place else you want to put on this itinerary?
I do, but I realise this is probably going to be the longest thing in the world. I'm just going to dip into, because I feel like it has to be done, Bran Castle.
Sure.
You can't not go and visit Bran, because it's almost a tradition. You go to Transylvania, you've got to go to Bran Castle. And I think it's worth saying that Bran Castle is worth seeing in its own right. Don't go with Dracula in your head.
Okay.
Because actually, there is very little about Dracula in Bran Castle.
In terms of historic terms connection of his, from Vlad Dracula to Bran Castle,
in terms of
Bran
historic
Castle, right.
connection, but also in terms of exhibits.
Oh, okay.
There are two rooms which have been decked out with folk horror stories and pictures of Stidigoi and Moroi and the demons of Romanian folk tradition. But the rest of it is not about that. The rest of it is more about the castle. It's about the lady of the castle in the early 20th century, who was a really interesting woman in her own right, and just about how people lived historically. There's also a section about torture, which seems to crop up in all Eastern European castles. You can't help but have a little museum of torture.
It's a given,
a given. This one is no better and no worse than any others. The castle itself is absolutely beautiful. It is rocky and atmospheric and looks exactly how you imagine a medieval castle should look. So it really is worth a trip. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. It's still worth it. However, do not go around Halloween. Because the queues will be phenomenal. And we made the mistake of going on the Halloween weekend thinking that would be a really good thing to do and very cool. No, it was not. We waited for a long time to do things. It was a bit tacky. There were a lot of people dressed up in Dracula-y clothes. I just feel like they were doomed to disappointment. But also you can go and party there at the around Halloween. So you can pay and they have a kind of evening dinner and a Dracula-themed party, and there are prizes for the best-dressed vampires.
All right. So go if that's
your
scene.
Go if that is your scene.
But don't go if you want to see the castle.
Yeah, and I think we did see a Anthony Bourdain No Reservations episode where he is taken to one of these parties with Dracula dress up, and it's possibly one of the funniest things I've ever seen. He did not like it.
Okay.
And it was mainly not for us either. But Brancastle anyway, go, but do not expect it to be about Dracula.
Okay.
Moving on from Brasov, and this is the last place on our trip. We are going to go to Sigisoara. And I think Sean from the podcast previously also visited. It's much smaller than Brasov. We spent 3 days there and I think covered the high spots. We travel quite slowly, so we take our time about things and spend a fair amount of time eating and sipping coffees. You could go for a day trip, probably, and see the main sights, but it deserves a little bit more time. And it's a really complete Saxon stronghold, Saxon citadel, full the towers. It's very medieval, again, in its streetscape, in its buildings. Mm-hmm. And you get a real sense of this, why the Saxons were in Romania, what they were there to defend and how they did that. Again, you can wander the towers, the guild towers. In Sigisoara, quite a lot of them actually have museums in them. So you get a lot more exhibits about the history of the guilds and what they were there to do and the things that they made. So it's definitely worth a look. One tip, though, for Sigisoara is to go to a museum called Mystical Transylvania.
Okay.
We're back to Vlad Dracul here. And Mystical Transylvania is a museum that looks as though it was set up by a group of art students and a group of theatre designers who got together in the pub one day and thought that this would be a really good idea. And when I say that, I say it in the best possible way, because it was brilliant.
Okay.
You have two museums. The first is about the life of Vlad the Impaler.
Okay.
And it's asking the question, was he a hero or was he a monster? Was it his upbringing that made him the person that he is? It's a very modern take on a very old story. And at the end of the exhibition, which is really cleverly done, you walk through his childhood and his later life and the wars. And at the end, you can cast your vote over whether you think he was a hero or a villain.
Okay.
Romanians see him as a hero. He's a national hero.
Sure.
And one of the taglines of Mystical Transylvania Museum is "No vampires in Transylvania." They are very adamant that he should be seen in all seriousness as a historical figure.
Okay.
And not as part of this kind of vampire tradition, which obviously has come from the West in its association with him. That's definitely something that you may not think looks like anything much from the outside, but really visit, because it gives you a totally different take on Transylvanian history. Then it's also worth visiting the hill in the middle of the citadel, which houses the school, which was built, I think, in around the 15th century.
Okay.
And a church, which dates from the 14th century. The whole hill is reached by the Scholar's Steps, which are timber-covered steps. They were built in around the 17th century to allow schoolboys to walk from town up to their school if it was snowing.
And it's covered steps.
Covered steps, yeah.
Okay.
All made of wood, and again, extremely atmospheric. Not something I've ever seen before in any city, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
The church is really beautiful. It has some exceptional wall paintings from medieval times. And it also has a crypt, which is a bit grim because a couple of the crypt parts have clear glass on the end of the coffin enclosures, so you can see the collapsing coffins through the glass. You may not be into that, but it's just, again, another layer of history. And we were very surprised, going back to what we were saying about English being very widely spoken. The guy who was looking after the door at the church at the top of the hill spoke absolutely perfect English, and I had a lot of questions, especially about the wall paintings and the art. And he then became quite keen to have a conversation with us about European politics and corruption and all of the other things that you may want to speak to people about, but not on a first conversation. But it was another example of that kind of friendliness of things can seem quite forbidding, but Romanians are generally just very interested to get talk to you, to get another take, to have conversations. And it is a great way to find out more about the place where you're at.
Excellent.
And I'm going to probably maybe end on a must eat in Sigisoara, which is a Hungarian snack called langos. And it's a flatbread, and it's either savoury with kind of cream cheese, and you can have it with bits of ham on or whatever, or sweet with, for instance, Nutella, which was my preference while I was there. And there's a clock tower.
And this is a fried bread.
It's a fried flatbread.
You missed the best part, yeah.
I'm trying not to think about it too hard because I ate quite a lot of these when we were in Romania. In fact, my husband still laughs at me because I had a kind of beatific moment with a langos where I said, I think this is in the top 10 things that I've ever eaten. Just something with chocolate on. It's fantastic. There is a really good langos stand near the clock tower, which is part of the city walls in Sigisoara. Okay. There's also a museum in that clock tower. Very interesting. I didn't know that one of the earliest designers of rockets, rockets, yes, was Romanian.
Okay.
The earliest designs was designed in Romania, which again is just something that you wouldn't know. Worth a look. Yeah. And I think that is probably the end of our itinerary. You can continue to Cluj, which is another great city. You can continue to the Turda salt mines, which we didn't go to, but it was recommended to me by my hairdresser that I visited.
Okay.
And when a hairdresser recommends something, it's usually going to be good. But the Turda salt mines look absolutely spectacular, and I'm sad we missed them. We will go back and we will go there because there is an underground amusement park.
That's what I see.
Yes. Alongside other things like therapy rooms.
An underground lake, even. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because...
As one has.
As one does. And strange things happen in Romania, and I think that is one of them.
Huh.
But
excellent.
If all you do is go to those three places, then I think you'll have fantastic time.
Excellent. You were standing in the prettiest spot you saw in Romania. Where are you standing? And what are you looking at?
I am standing about halfway up the zigzag path going up Tampa in Brasov. That's the hill. And there is a point at which the view clears. There are no bushes. You're standing just under the cable car rope. And you have the wide view of the whole of the old town. Of Brasov, straight over to the White Tower, which is on a hill at the other side. And that is possibly the most beautiful view in the autumn, with the autumn colours especially, in the whole place. And I could sit for hours and look at that view.
Excellent. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Romania?
Having too much imagination and hearing stray dogs on a foggy hike and getting quite scared and running up a hill away from them.
Thinking they were bears.
Thinking they were bears, yes.
Knew that bears would come up in that conversation. Excellent. And if you had to summarize Romania, specifically we've been focusing mostly on Transylvania, in just three words, what three words would you use?
History. Beauty. Mm-hmm. creativity.
Now, you've intrigued me with a third one. What? Why creativity?
Because it inspires creativity within. It's okay. A place of such imagination and atmosphere that it's clearly inspired creativity in Romanian people, in their dress, in their tales, in their food. And it inspired creativity in me, and I think it would inspire other people. It's an amazing place.
Excellent. Our guest again has been Ella from wherenextnomad.com, which will launch between the time we record this and the time that this comes out. And when it does, what is the link that we want to send people to? Are you going to have a post about Romania
yes.
that we can recommend people read?
Yes, there is a post. There's a section on there about the 5 best things to do in Brasov. And that is the one to read to get the detail on your trip.
Excellent. Ella, thanks so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and talking about your love for Romania. I will be honest with you. Looking at the pictures, listening to you talk about it, I literally was looking at airfares. So that's what I'm looking for with an episode.
Good. I hope that wasn't too terribly dull. Thank you, Chris.
As always, I send out a special thanks to the patrons of the show who help support Amateur Traveler financially. If you're interested in learning more about becoming a patron of the show, you can go to patreon.com/amateurtraveler. I heard from Anthony, who answered the question about those people who are using the chapters in the episodes that I painfully put in that have the pictures and links for all the things we're talking about. And Anthony says, yes, I also listen/watch the chapters photos using Podcast Addict. So apparently on the Podcast Addict player, you can see the chapters that I put in. And then I heard back from Rebecca Merrill, who we talked to recently about Greenland, who said, thanks again, Chris, for the opportunity. It's funny, but I forgot to mention that originally we planned to go to Gabon this month until our travel operator told us they were having elections and the lodges would most likely close in case of troubles. Well, you probably saw the news that the army overthrew the president and they closed the borders. So I guess it's a good thing we chose Greenland. Stay tuned for Gabon in another few years. There's still some slots available for the trip to Morocco next year. I know I've had some people ask if we're still going to Morocco, what with the earthquake that happened in Marrakesh. We are. Most of this trip will not be focusing on Marrakesh, but on regions that were not damaged by the earthquake, or at least didn't have any serious damage. Obviously, Marrakesh had a terrible loss of life there. But we're not going until April of 2024, so hopefully they'll be able to handle us by the time we go there. If not, I imagine that the plans would change for that part of the itinerary. If you're interested in learning more, go to amateurtraveler.com/trips, which is a private Facebook group. And with that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.